doing any kind of meditation, there is what we do and how we do it. And sometimes it's important to give attention to how. So for example, it's possible to do the what might be focusing on the breathing. And there's many hows of how to do it. It's possible to do it with in a forceful way. It's possible to get tense, try hard. It's possible to have a lot of self involved. I have to do this. I have to be successful. I'm responsible. It's possible to do it in a very disinterested way, bored, hesitant. Yeah, I'll get around to it in a few breaths. And then, well, it's not quite time yet. It's possible to do it half-heartedly. There's what I call the checklist approach to mindfulness. So your idea is to stay with the breathing, for example, and as soon as the in-breath begins, check it off, an in-breath, and then just kind of think about something else before the exhale begins. Check that exhale off, done that. It's also possible how to do it in a way that is wholehearted and relaxed, determined or deliberate, while being at ease. To do it with the hand of the mind open as opposed to closed. The mind is soft, easy. But easy and relaxed doesn't mean not determined or resolved. So from time to time, it's good to look at how you're being present, how you're being aware, how you're focusing, how you're doing the practice. And is how you're doing it in harmony with the goal? Is it supportive? And I kind of like the idea of being relaxed and at the same time as being determined or resolved. Resolved, relaxed resolve. That this, what I'm doing, is important and I'll give myself to it. And as I do the what, I'll do it without pushing, holding back. So I'd like to offer three steps of practice that have to do with partly the how, partly with the what. There's a way of engaging with your experience in a calm, deliberate way. And these three steps are to recognize what's happening, to allow what's happening, and then to relax. If you're with your breathing, you want to really recognize the experience of breathing in a clear way. And take your time with the recognizing. And then allow the experience of breathing to just be there and arise and pass as it does. And it's not always easy just to allow. You don't have to be perfect at it, but that's kind of the direction to be moving towards. And then if there's tension or holding in relationship to breathing, to soften, relax. Relax the body. And the idea is to take your time with each of these three steps. And then as we're present and recognize what's happening, if there's experience of pleasure or gladness or joy, take your time to simply recognize it. Don't be in a hurry. Register the experience. And then allow for it. Trust the emergence of it. Make room for the experience so it can be felt more fully. And the allowing involves feeling, registering, taking it in. Allowing the experience to come into awareness freely, whatever it might be. And then, when it seems appropriate, not too soon, to relax. Or perhaps there's some letting go in relationship to what's happening. Recognize, allow. As you allow, feel fully. And then relax. If what you're feeling is unpleasant, the same thing. To take time, generous time, to recognize that that's happening. Allow for it. It's a practice in its own right to allow for the unpleasant. To learn how we react and tighten up or judge, or to see what's going on. To discover how we can get out of the way and allow for it to be there. So we can feel it fully. Receive it in the body. Allow it and feel it without the extra of identification or being for and against. And then when the time is right, there might be some way of relaxing or letting go of something connected to the unpleasant. And each of these steps has its own gift or its own pleasure. A relaxed way of clear recognition of what's happening has a quality of rightness to it, or maybe even kind of pleasure. The allowing of something, the allowing part of it, the movement of allowing, can feel very satisfying, even though what we allow might be unpleasant. And letting go, or relaxing, can also feel good to do. Allow yourself to feel the goodness, feel the rightness or the pleasure that can come along with the practice. And slowly over time, how you are becomes more valuable than what you do or what you focus on. Recognize allow and feel and when it seems appropriate to relax let go. Let go into what feels good and right and pleasant here in this body at this time. Let go into the practice so that you develop steadiness, stability, and indestructibility here. So I offered the idea of recognizing, allowing feeling, and relaxing, not as a really an alternative practice from what you're doing, but maybe as a way of supporting what you do. So each of those steps can have its own benefits, and how you do it is important. So mindfulness is basically a clear recognition of what's happening. But then how we recognize, if we recognize in an agitated way, we support agitation. But if we recognize in a calm way, we support calm. If we allow in an accepting way, then we support calm. If we allow in a greedy way or wanting something to happen way, we support maybe not just simple presence. So one of the areas that you can apply this to is, or see it how it works, is with thinking. And so when thinking happens and we're involved in thoughts, certainly if it's easy to let go, or if it's in the background and not interfering, you can just stay with your focus of attention. But if it keeps pulling you away and keep pulling away and you keep getting involved in the world of thoughts, then there's the art of recognizing that's what's happening. And part of that recognition is to just calmly and fully just see it for what it is. Not being, you know, and so there's different tracks or different levels or frequencies, like a radio, of thinking. And so if our thinking is agitated, and then with the same frequency, just as agitated, we recognize that we're thinking. Just there's more, more agitation. But if we're thinking about something, preoccupied, agitated, and then the idea is to recognize it from a calmer place, a subtle place. And the analogy I like to use is that of being at ease, resting against a tree, against the riverbank. And you had a nice day, you're content, you're happy, had a nice lunch, nice nap, you wake up, everything is good in the world for that moment for you. And then you see a boat coming down the river. It's a big showboat with flashing lights, concerts and casinos and dance shows, and it's like has all the lots of food, and next thing you know, you're on the boat. It takes you a few days to realize that, what am I doing on the boat? I was sitting peacefully, everything was perfect on the riverbank. And then you get off the boat finally and make your way back. You're finally back. It's so good to be on the dry, firm riverbank and under the tree and at ease. Things are peaceful and safe. And then a war boat comes along, fighting the great battles of life, the causes. And pretty soon you know you're on that, fighting wars. It takes you some days or weeks to realize you're on that boat. Get off, make your way back, river, sit down. And then this poor, decrepit little raft that's barely floating. It looks, you have so much pity for that raft, oh, poor raft. And then you find yourself on the raft. Poor raft. Poor me. So the idea is to stay on the river, stay on the dry bank, or find a place to kind of, from which to recognize I'm thinking. So it's kind of like, I like the idea of stepping back. That image works for me. Step back and gaze upon the thinking. So you're clearly stepping out of the flow and the trains of thoughts, and from a calm, relaxed place, but deliberate, a place of strength maybe, or a place of clarity, or a place that's not on the boat. Oh, I'm thinking. You can use a label if it helps, or some kind of clear recognition. And then to allow, thinking is an interesting thing to do. Allowing here is a little delicate because it isn't just kind of like getting more into it. Thinking is great, I'll just kind of continue and happily, you know, I guess I'm finally allowed to think. I thought I wasn't supposed to think on retreats. Thank you, Gil. What it means is that you still stay on the riverbank where you can see clearly, observe clearly, and you allow the boats to go by. You don't put a dam up to block the boats. You don't bring out your bazookas and blast the boats out of the water. You don't get on the boat. You don't get involved in the boats. So you just kind of let it just step back and just allow it to go. And then to feel that is very helpful with thinking, because we often get involved with the content of the thoughts. But instead of the content, if you can recognize the felt sense, the feeling, the sensations, the actual experience of what thinking is like, and kind of allow for that so you can feel it more fully. And that's a way of stepping back again, not being involved in the content, but feeling the tension, the pressure, the energy, the agitation. It's a way of kind of stepping back into the into the immediacy of the experience you're having. And then it might be possible to notice that there's a kind of like the thinking muscle you can relax. There's something in the whole process of thinking that maybe there's some holding, some tension, some contraction, some tightness around thinking, then maybe it's possible to soften and relax. So, and then when you can, if you do relax or let go of the tension or the thinking, sometimes it's important to remember that we're letting go into something. And so if you're focusing on the breathing, or if you're focusing on something pleasant in your experience, the idea is you want to remember to let go into it, drop into it, and then recognize that from this calm place, whatever modicum of calm you can find. Allow it, feel it fully. So allow and feel, kind of allow it to merge, let it make space for it, kind of open the body to it. And then maybe relaxing or letting go might mean there might be opportunity to let go into it more fully if it seems like a healthy experience to feel. Or it might be possible to let go of some of the peripheral kind of attachments or clinging or resistances we have to whatever's happening, or pushing or expectations. And as time goes along, there might be a time when the practice gets more and more settled that we no longer have to let go or relax. That's just extra. And after a while, it becomes extra to spend any time feeling anything, or even allowing. It just seems too much. And it's just enough just to recognize. The recognizing kind of holds within it the other aspects. Just in the recognizing, there is allowing. In the recognizing, there is feeling. And in the recognizing, there is a kind of unfolding, letting go that can happen. Settling in. And if all those steps seem too complicated, just choose one. And if you choose one, I like very much the idea of trusting the emergence. Allow yourself to feel it. The direct experience, the sensations of the experience, whatever it might be. So if you have any questions about that or anything else you'd like to ask, we have a couple of minutes here, about 5 minutes. please. Exactly. Yeah, so it's important to not get carried away in the intensity of what you're experiencing and feeling. The word feeling is so ambiguous, what we mean. There's so many different things that fall under that word. Can you specify one example of what you mean, just by intense feeling that you're referring to?
You might feel gratitude, or you might feel joy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can. Generally, not always, but generally with what it means to be over the top, one danger is that we're not really on the riverbank allowing it, and just we're actually somehow on the boat of gratitude. We're thinking about it, we're excited by it, we're like, this is the best, and we're feeding it, and it's kind of this feedback loop of that gets more and more intense because we're involved. So you might experiment as you practice when you feel that kind of those kinds of feelings, you might see if there's anything extra involved, like you're celebrating it or validating it or congratulating yourself or you might be fueling it in some way that's making it more complicated than it needs to be. Especially something like gratitude that does involve an evaluation involved. If it's if it's like the pity the those kinds of feelings that come up, they can be quite intense at times. And then the art of it is to know what's the appropriate intensity for you and before it becomes agitating. And that's kind of just trial and error. And some people find if they kind of tap into and stay just for a brief while, you can always, and then if you can pull out, there's no requirement to stay with something like that and just kind of stay focused. Sometimes pulling out and then going back in, and then we start feeling get more comfortable with it. And, oh, okay, I guess it's okay. And some of the over the top or too much is the reaction to it, is the fear connected to it. And we just go in and feel a little bit, then come out and touch in again, come out. And then it might also, it helps to clarify what's extra. And so it's simpler and simpler. And so, same thing. Same thing. You can, to allow anger, to let it become intense. Meditation is one of the great places, maybe the only one of the few places in life where it's fine to be in full blown rage. Just let, because sometimes it needs to kind of have its full time. And but the art of it there also is not to be on the boat of anger, but just let it be the physical energy and movement to rise and move through us, to have confidence that it's okay to do so, that you're safe, that you're not going to get swept away. And if you don't have that confidence, then pull back if you can. Open your eyes, look around, take a deep breath, and then maybe you go back into it with more confidence. And sometimes it's going back and forth allows for something to kind of move through more freely than just staying with it. Because sometimes just staying with it, there can be a reaction to it or some kind of attachment connected to it or some kind of resistance that's actually making it more difficult. So this kind of a massage. And but always, it's always important to kind of be careful you're not on the boat. And that's part of the art of this practice, is learning how to have this kind of clarity of awareness, grounded awareness, that that is not entangled with what you know. Does that make sense? Great. Well, so that's all we have time for. So hopefully you have a chance at the meetings with Lee and I. So we have our meetings with you, and Lee's in the room off the main hall downstairs, and I'm around behind the elevator. And I hope you enjoy the day. And one of the things, you've now done your Sangha service a few times. That's 6:40 in the morning, little jobs. And we hope that by now you've kind of know where the equipment is, know where your place is, and you've kind of mastered the job enough that now, rather than figuring out how to do the work, now it's an opportunity to enter the work with mindfulness, with presence and concentration, to really be there, and not to get the job done, but just to be in the job, just to be fully in that experience. And that's one of the ways that that supports the overall practice. If you just do something, to really do it, as opposed to do it to get it over with quickly so you can go on to the important things. There's nothing more important than what you're doing at the moment. So thank you.